I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 318 for August 9th, 2015 are Kevin Crossman.
Howdy, howdy.
Coy Seipert.
Hey, everybody.
And David Jort.
Hey, good evening, all.
Now, tonight on the podcast, the panel's going to explore the blue sky possibilities of new locations for Disney theme parks and resorts. To give you a little background of where we're coming from on that, you know, there was a time, obviously, where we just had Disneyland, and then Disney expanded with the Florida Project and built Walt Disney World and started adding to the multi-park complex there in Orlando. But they also expanded into some standalone resorts. There are a couple that are sort of in proximity to Walt Disney World. Vero Beach is a destination that, you know, some people even drive down to Vero Beach to make a weekend of, the beach stay at the Vero Beach Resort after a Walt Disney World vacation. A little farther away is Disney's standalone resort at Hilton Head Island. And the most recent of the standalone resort projects to be completed, the Aulani Resort in Hawaii. But maybe a little, less known. Obviously, the fan community talks about them. But, there's a whole series of projects that almost but didn't quite make it out of the drawing board or off of the drawing board. And maybe the first of those was Walt Disney's Mineral King project. I don't know, Kevin, you're the West Coaster. What are some of the highlights of Mineral King that just, we don't need a lot of detail, but sort of the overview?
Well, this was a project that Walt Disney was involved with in the late 50s and early 60s into the mid 60s. And the intent was to build a ski resort, basically, in the Sierras. Now, Disney, or they were working with whoever bought the land, but there was environmental issues with the road getting there. And then, of course, Walt died, and that sort of kept a lot of things at check. And then, the 70s and the environmentalist movement kind of put the kibosh on all that. But it was intended to be a ski resort, destination resort, probably riffing on some of the involvement that Disney had with the 1960 Squaw Valley Olympics.
Right, right. And there was the project, even before the Florida project, when they were looking at, other possibilities for places, outside of Disneyland to build a destination of some sort. There was a project in St. Louis along the Mississippi River that would have been an enclosed theme park environment, People sometimes still mistakenly talk about, wondering why they don't close the dome over the, over Epcot when it rains. It doesn't exist. That's why. this would have been a covered experience there in St. Louis, which I don't know that anybody knows exactly what happened to that project. Although, from what I understand, the thing that killed it ultimately was Walt saying, much as his rule was at Disneyland, that there would be no beer sales. And good old August Bush was not going to allow a, major entertainment property to open in his backyard that banned beer sales. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that was true. one that maybe was the closest to having something happen with it is the project that's generally referred to as Disney's America, which was a patriotic America-themed theme park that was being planned for some land that Disney had purchased in, I guess we would call it Northern Virginia. And I don't know, anybody familiar with the Disney's America project? Want to kind of talk about it generally?
I don't know much about it. I know it was going to kind of have like some Civil War era stuff. If I remember, some more presidents kind of themed lands, I think.
I mean,
maybe some like fair kind of,
yeah, all of that American history stuff. You know, there were attractions devoted to the Industrial Revolution, believe it or not. Hall of Presidents that ultimately ended up at Walt Disney World was originally developed for Disney's America. There are a number of things that started out as Disney's America projects that ended up elsewhere. Frankly, from what I understand, a number of them ended up at the original DCA, which is not an encouraging thought, really. But in any case, that project ended up not happening. You know, we can speculate as to exactly why, but the important part was that, you know, it's really the last major effort by Disney to invest in another United States theme park destination. And they kind of abandoned Disney's America. Now, they didn't abandon Washington, D.C., because, you know, subsequent to that, even at the time that Aulani was being built, Disney still owned a big chunk of land right on Washington National Harbor. That was a major sort of gentrification and rehabilitation project around that same time frame. And Disney was poised to build a rather large resort destination, you know, resort complex there. And shortly after the Aulani project sort of was close enough to completion that they were talking about it publicly, because, you know, the whole deal with DVC where they, you know, build a tower next to the Contemporary, and if you ask them what's going on there, they say, going on where? This would have been the same idea, a DVC project, although it wouldn't have been tied to a theme park, and so they were very tight-lipped about it. And then right around the time that Aulani was, you know, finally being spoken of publicly, they quietly sold off the land that they'd owned along National Harbor there in Washington, D.C., from what I understand, for a really good price. So I guess you can't entirely blame them. And then one other that we wanted to mention, because, you know, Kevin mentioned it before Disney's California Adventure was built, the original expansion for the Disneyland Resort, the original idea to expand it beyond just Disneyland, was to kind of follow the same pattern as Walt Disney World, which started with a Magic Kingdom park and then built Epcot. The project in California was dubbed Westcott.
Yeah, that's right. And they were playing Anaheim against Long Beach to see which city could give them the best deal for this park, and because they owned the Queen Mary and some other land in Long Beach. And eventually Anaheim won, and they sold. They said, this is what we're going to build. And Anaheim said, sure, let's give you a bunch of money. And then that's not what they built.
And I think that Kevin's description of it was rather apt. He talked about Westcott being sort of the you know, hardcore Disney fan theme park version of Horizons, with the only difference being that it never really did get built at all.
If only we could have experienced it.
Right, right. So with that back... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say they need to bring it back.
So with that background, and, you know, I guess we gave that background so that you understand that although we're playing blue sky games here with this idea of Disney building, you know, parks and resorts in other locations around the world, those things have all often been, or always been really, since parks and resorts has existed, those things have always been on the map somewhere. They're always kind of percolating with plans for, you know, where can we go next? How can we continue to grow this theme park empire? I would say that with Shanghai nearing completion, you know, I can't see Disney doing a lot more in Asia, although maybe some people will have some other ideas as we start throwing our blue sky ideas around. But it just seemed to us that, you know, with Shanghai on the horizon now, maybe it was time to turn our attention to other possible expansion destinations for Disney parks and resorts. So with far too much long-winded introduction from me, I'm going to throw it out to the panel for somebody who has a suggestion, a blue sky thought of a place for a Disney theme park or resort expansion somewhere, anywhere in the world where Disney does not already have a theme park or resort.
You know, I'm surprised that they haven't done Vegas yet.
Okay. Tell me more.
Well, yeah, Vegas has always been, I mean, I've heard it referred to as the adult Disney how many times? I'm sure we all have in some capacity.
Sure, sure.
But I know there was a big push, I don't know what, probably 6, 7, 8 years ago, that Vegas is more than just an adult playground. And they were really, you could see some undertones of, hey, let's get some family entertainment in here.
Right.
Let's make it a family destination. And obvious, you know, an obvious choice is to get a Disney property there. Be it a resort, I mean, I don't know Disney's stance on gambling. I'm assuming that they...
Well,
I mean, they don't do it on the cruises, right?
Yeah, Disney has been pretty firmly opposed in general to gambling properties. They've lobbied against some of the gambling initiatives in Florida pretty aggressively. I think that they do it more because they see it as a competitor for entertainment dollars.
Right.
But they do make a moral argument as well sometimes.
Right. I could see the draw of putting one there. I mean, I don't know if they haven't because it's in a proximity to the Los Angeles metro area. I mean, it's really only a 5-hour drive. So I don't know if they consider that regionally,
home competition
cannibalizing on themselves. Yeah. But you already have an established tourism base there that if you were to do, whether it be just a family resort in the area to have that family backdrop, but still be close enough to, if the parents want to go gambling, go out, whatever, or do an actual theme park there. I don't know what would work better. I don't know if it seems to make sense to me because you already have the infrastructure.
Sure. It does seem to me that to be, a potential opportunity there because, as you've said, Vegas has strived recently, maybe the last decade or so, to have a more family-friendly side to it, and it just hasn't really succeeded on that front. And I have to guess that part of that is because, you do what you know, and I'm not sure that the folks who do the Caesars gambling halls, for lack of a better way to put it. I mean, there are Caesars resorts that are more family friendly in the Northeast, but I don't think that those folks are the ones who are running the Vegas expansions or the folks who are doing Luxor and all of these. Sort of lavish adult entertainment centers really kind of get the family market.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too with that is they really tried to do a lot of stuff in the 90s and early 2000s. But I think that the advantage Disney would have in a situation like that would be their brand, because people would go to a Disney resort and expect it to not be so seedy. And
exactly.
presumably, not so much smoking, I would imagine, not so risque shows, that sort of thing. And, the one thing that Disney does very well in the cruises and in their resorts is have a babysitting service or a kids program or something where, you could feel safe about leaving your kids behind at the resort if you, mom and dad, wanted to go out to see a show or whatever. Yeah. So, they'd have a big advantage by leveraging their brand there.
Yeah, go ahead, Coy. Sorry.
I was going to say, because of Vegas's weather situation, I think a resort would be much more likely than a theme park. But, almost like a cruise, almost if you took the Disney Cruise Line and put it into a resort where you have kids clubs and you have, the teen hangout areas, and you have, you know, the parents could, a family could come, and the parents could still, you know, feel like on a cruise line, you could feel like you could leave your kids somewhere and go out to a show, you know, and have that family environment. Your kids would be excited to go to Vegas, and, you know, which they might not be for other resorts. But, you know, still have that, you know, it'd be a lot more air conditioning and inside than a theme park would be, hopefully. But yeah, I could see that. I could see as a resort it being possible. I just think, I think Disney would probably be pretty wary of, I mean, they can make money, but whether they'd want to be, I don't know, whether they'd feel like people would think they were just kind of, you know, looking for the money, which there are usually, but, you know, just by hopping into Vegas, be like, oh, hey, we just want more, you know.
Hardly seems a sin in Vegas to go for the money.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a corporation. That's their job. But you know, I think that one of the things about the idea of a Disney resort in Vegas, mostly, I guess, as a travel industry observer, I think it would be very interesting to see what would happen, because I can't imagine that they would put any kind of a, you know, casino floor in a resort. And so, you know, you have to wonder whether, like, what their reception in the community would be, right, among the other resorts. Because on the one hand, those other resorts might really love the idea of having a place, you know, where adults could leave their kids and spend more time on their gambling floors. On the other hand, you know, it's potential lost revenue from people who never reach their floors. So it would be interesting. Interesting thought. So, Coy, did you have another thought of a possible park or resort destination?
Well, every time I think about a destination, we were talking about at dinner, I don't know, we'd always just come back to Australia, just because, I don't know, my wife loves Australia. She's been there multiple times, and I don't know, it's just it's a pretty big country. It's not super populous, but just the whole southern hemisphere would be an interesting place for a Disney park. The only issue is you're probably not going to have, just because of the amount of airfare to get there, you're not going to have a lot of travel to it. But I mean, you do to other parks, but I just don't know if Australia presents, I think it would be a cool place. I don't know if it presents enough incentive for Disney to do it, but you do have the, you know, you're English speaking already. You've got, you know, Disney's already has some, you know, I'm sure they have some presence there like they do everywhere, but I don't know. It'd be I like Australia.
Yeah, I mean, I think Australia is an interesting suggestion because, as you said, that it's an English-speaking audience. It is far, but on the other hand, you know, there are Australian tourists who come to Walt Disney World, and for the Asian tourists, you know, Aulani has been a huge draw,
right,
from Asia. It probably, you know, more than half of the guests who are visiting Aulani are coming from Asia. You know, those guests might be candidates for an Australian park. I don't know. What are you, anybody else with thoughts about Australia?
I thought about Australia, but sort of rejected it based on the population and the fact that all these three different Asian Disney resorts are probably going to draw a lot of those Asian tourists more.
That's
so.
True.
But, you know, yeah, if all things were equal, would I rather go to Australia or Singapore or Hong Kong? Probably I'd go to Australia myself, but that's the kind of traveler I am.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the language barrier is a, you know, for a lot of people would be a plus, but you could have a whole Finding Nemo land though in Australia. Well,
exactly. I mean, and that's one of the things I wanted us to explore a little bit, is what you might be able to do at some of these other destinations to capitalize on them. So yeah, you got interesting opportunities to take advantage of Finding Nemo and you know, Finding Dory coming soon.
Rescuers Down Under.
There you go.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
The Disney Boomerang cartoon, the Mickey Mouse Boomerang ostrich cartoon that I always see.
Oh, okay.
One of the originals.
Yeah.
They could option the whole Lord of the Rings deal. It's New Zealand, isn't that one country?
Yeah.
They're close.
They're close.
They are near each other.
Part of Oceania.
In the vicinity of.
Yeah.
Closer than we are, yes.
something about kangaroos and deadly snakes. Mm-hmm. That's all I can.
Right, they do have
muster.
So we've got Australia, we've got Las Vegas. Kevin, you have a thought for us?
Well, it's not a resort, but like you were saying, you know, we want to maybe potentially go to places where there's already an established tourist base. And why would Disney go there? They need to make some sort of difference or make some sort of different kind of resort, like the way they have done with Aulani. It's in Hawaii. People go there, but they're creating their own special resort, leveraging the theme of the area that they're in there. So my thought would be to do some sort of mountain lodge type resort near Yellowstone. Now, there's a lot of room, on the north side of Yellowstone into Montana. Yeah, I can imagine some sort of larger than the Wilderness Lodge, larger than the Grand Californian Hotel, something with water slides and maybe different kinds of pools. I think this would be an opportunity to offer tours into the park through their Adventures by Disney group.
Sure.
And just think about the kind of special tours you could have, maybe tour Yellowstone with Mickey on some sort of special plus-sized ticket price, thing. That might be kind of cool. And, there is lots of tourism there in that area, appealing to families and all that sort of thing. So, this could be an opportunity for Disney as well.
Yeah, the whole Disney Nature brand, could be in part of that. But, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
It's certainly an opportunity for growth, to look at some of those sort of adventure destination ideas. From what I understand, that Adventures by Disney itinerary is one of their first and at least their first domestic ones and has been very popular. So to build on that with their own resort instead of, paying somebody else basically as a vendor and going ahead and operating it as a resort year-round, it makes a certain amount of sense. I'm going to sort of take a step beyond. I warned you guys that, before we started recording, that I kind of went afield on this. And so I just recently booked a cruise for a friend of mine. And we were having some difficulty getting availability for him on this cruise because it turned out that it's the home leg of a world cruise. Disney's cruises are mostly what they call closed loops, right? You leave from a port, you come back to the same port.
Right.
There are a few point-to-point cruises that Disney runs that are repositioning, right? They're moving the ship from one place to another. So they go ahead and sell an itinerary that goes from point to point because they've got to move the ship to do more loops. But there are other cruise lines out there who approach this differently. And so the cruise that, I booked this friend of mine on essentially starts in San Francisco and sails around the world. And they sell it in segments. And so you can purchase, one segment or a whole bunch of them. And it occurred to me that how cool would it be to be able to do a Disney Parks world cruise?
Mm-hmm.
So, you could depart from Florida because you could do this and avoid the whole Panama Canal thing even, right? You depart from Florida from Port Canaveral. Do Port Canaveral the transatlantic route that they already do and do Disneyland Paris, and then swing on through. You obviously need to add some interim destinations as well, but swing on around to the Asian parks, and then you do your home route from Tokyo back to Disneyland.
Or you can stop at Aulani.
You can stop at Aulani on the way. You can do, you can do part of Alaska along the way, where Disney has been doing, has done a number of cruises. So that if you did that, you'd have to make it on the Wonder because it's the only one that's equipped to do Alaska. But it just seemed to me that would be a really cool opportunity. and something completely different that Disney hasn't done before. And, you know, with a new new park in China, you know, my Chinese geography is not particularly good, but it, Shanghai is not on a port, but it's near one. Am I right?
It's a port. It's an ocean. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure whether it was right on the port or whether there was something else in between it. But so you could even hit Shanghai on the way to Hawaii. And I don't know that you'd need to do any particularly special theming, although, you know, maybe you do, you know, throw in some small world touches as you circumnavigate the globe, you know, as the sun, you know, playing with the sun never sets on Disney parks kind of thing.
And no one ever goes on it because the song plays repeatedly on every deck.
That's what I would do. Song plays all the time.
There you go. So I'm going to kick this one up just a bit more.
Okay. Where are you going to go with it?
Not just a world tour to the parks. Make a boat that is big enough that it is actually a park itself.
Okay. So do you know that this was on the drawing board at one point?
No.
All right. Yeah. So, Kevin, I know you know this story. Anybody else?
I've heard about it.
Okay. So, Kevin, you want to pitch what you know of the floating theme park idea?
I do not.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I thought you did. All right, so apparently kind of the deep origins of Disney Cruise Line was this idea that because, you know, back in the day, Walt Disney worked with and Roy, when they built Walt Disney World, worked with a bunch of former military guys a lot. Mm-hmm. As construction managers and things. And at one point, one of those guys, and I think, I want to say that it was Potter, who kind of was in charge of a lot of the construction at Walt Disney World, you know, had to contact somebody in, you know, Navy surplus, who came to Walt and said, you know, they're getting ready to decommission an aircraft carrier. And there are all these people in South America who have this Disney connection because, you know, you did the whole Central and South American tour thing, and they you know, really love Disney, but it's just way too expensive and it takes way too long for them to come and visit Walt Disney World. Wouldn't it be great if we could bring a park to them? And they actually, like, did planning on this and drew up attractions that could be mounted on and in an aircraft carrier.
Wow.
I think it was an aircraft, either an aircraft carrier or a tanker. That, one of those huge ships.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the idea was that they would sail from point to point, you know, drop anchor, almost like a carnival, right?
That's great.
Drop anchor, and you'd have a theme park for a few months, you know, whatever the holiday season is in that area. And then you'd pack it up and move it to the next one. And from what I understand, part of the plan to keep costs down was that the ship would operate on a skeleton crew from place to place, and they'd just bring on locals.
Wow.
To run things. That's at each destination.
Shady.
Yeah. I can't imagine that would have worked well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the seeds of that are there. I mean, I'm sure somebody could pull up the plans from the archives if your Blue Sky concept got anywhere.
Sweet.
So had you thought through any more of, you know, what the floating theme park idea would look like?
No, not at all. That just came to the top of my head when you said cruise around the world. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd have to be a big ship.
It would be. I mean,
we've got big ships, but they're still just not. I mean, they're big, but they're.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, if you don't have to provide for, you know, places for several thousand people to sleep. I mean, just think about how big the inside of a one of the, you know, fantasy or dream class cruise ships is, and then realize that there are other cruise lines that are sailing even bigger ships. Right. So, you know, even if we don't go to an aircraft carrier, which was sort of the root of this whole thing, was that, you know, hey, Walt, we could get a we could get a huge aircraft carrier really cheap. What could we do with it if we did?
Take over a country.
Yeah, but you could do dark rides below decks.
Yeah, you could do.
And simulators below decks.
Princess meet and greets.
Yeah. All kinds of meet and greets. You do all kinds of pirate stuff.
It would be Frozen themed.
Restaurants. Yeah, you could put enough attractions to make that a full day thing with the restaurants and the meet and greets and everything else.
You could have a flotilla. So you had the floating park and then several cruise ships with it, smaller, that were your hotels.
So the whole deluxe, floating resort.
You have a deluxe, you have a moderate, you have a palace.
You have a barge, and that's your...
Yeah. It's like the deluxe camping. Pulling
the
barge.
You could do camping on the barges, and you could...
Yeah, there you go.
The value is just this dinghy that's tied to the back of the deluxe.
It's just tethered, being dragged.
To share a room with Italians like in Titanic, if you're in steerage.
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. I mean, because if you could keep from having to house all the crew... I mean, because the crew of a ship is massive, too. I mean,
right.
even without restaurants, I mean, just operating crew is pretty impressive on ships of size.
If you don't have guests to service, you don't need as big a crew.
Right.
And if you're not really sailing with that crew either.
Right.
If you're just docked.
Well, I mean, you still have to sail point to point.
Yeah, but it's not like you have to keep all of those people engaged.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like you would when you're constantly... Or about to come or go from someplace.
That's true.
Or if you just send a little ship ahead to put out flyers and hire people when you get there. That's
I still don't like the shady hiring carnies as we
it's probably
travel around the world.
Probably not quite up to the Disney quality.
Yeah.
Idea, but you know.
Who knows though? I mean, honestly, if they were to implement something like this and have, you know, a half dozen ports of call in the Atlantic for one ship, and you just rotated through, like Aaron said, focused on their holidays, you could theoretically, I mean, with the way travel is now, you could theoretically have an advanced team that goes in and sets up a real hiring agency, and you have those cast members, and they only work for you 2 or 3 months a year, but... Or, you know, even if 8 weeks, whatever it is, I don't know, 6 weeks. Yeah. But anyway, you could have that. They could be permanent employees, but only work.
Right. Seasonal.
Seasonal employees. I mean.
And then the next year it becomes even easier because you're going to rehire some of those people.
Keep them on the payroll.
Sure. And the biggest advantage of that is that, you know, when you're going places where they don't speak English, you know, as a first language, you've got cast members who can communicate.
Yeah.
Because they're local.
Well, that's true.
All right. Well, that's intriguing. I like that. So let's see. I think it's Coy's turn again. Coy, you got another one for us?
All right. So I'm still on kind of on some cruise ideas, but since Disney is obsessed with Frozen, and we have the Norwegian Fjord cruise. I feel like Disney could put in an Aulani kind of resort in Norway with a castle and capitalize even more on the overlooked.
So an actual ice castle resort.
A Norwegian castle with some icing and theming and you get your cruises going and I don't know. I think people would pay for it. I wouldn't, but people would.
I would be forced to.
You could have, you could walk out and see the rock trolls. You could do some hiking. You could have some, you know, ice sculptures and saunas.
Some
whatnot.
Norwegian cuisine.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, I think you could certainly do some interesting visual stuff and it would be a unique experience. I'd wonder whether it would be something you could actually, you know, sell 12 months out of the year.
For the rest of their lives. yeah. is the key thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
don't
the evergreen thing is really the concern I'd have with that. I was thinking about Norway like that.
But, you think Frozy's going to go away?
Rolling along with that idea, you could theoretically put a princess-focused park in that area and draw from, you know, that Central Europe kind of historical, because you got
old castle.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like Rapunzel's, Germany, correct?
Officially, sounds right.
Rapunzel's France.
France. Right.
Snow White is Germany.
There's another German princess tale, right?
Well, Aurora is France also.
Aurora's for, okay.
Hansel and Gretel?
Yeah, we could do that too. I mean, you could honestly, the thing is, you could draw from a lot of that and have it focused to Frozen because that's your big deal now. But, I mean, you know, I think everyone has seen the map where, you know, it's where all these stories are supposed to take place. I mean, isn't even Little Mermaid supposed to be in one of those northern seas?
Yeah, I mean, Little Mermaid is Norway.
Yeah.
Or no, Denmark. I'm sorry, Denmark.
Yeah. Right. So you could put it there, have it based on, you know, we have Cinderella's castle, we have Sleeping Beauty's castle. Why wouldn't we have the ice castle and then a bunch of princess stuff?
Right, a bunch of princesses who are visiting.
You could just do just like a fairy tale resort.
I mean, that's kind of like what the
castle and
now.
The whole. Well, but not a theme park. Just a, just on the ocean, like a just resort getaway.
Yeah.
Massive castle, but I mean, just the whole thing, just massively themed to, fairy tale princessy. Dining halls and the whole.
Yeah, depending on how big you want to do it, I mean, you could theoretically have multiple buildings that are different castles.
Sure.
With a central area. You know, I mean, there's...
Well, sure. And then you have guest rooms in them so that people can choose, which princess they're going to be the guest of.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, let me propose European princess castle option number two, because this was I had thought about this too.
Okay.
And the destination that I thought about, which along the same lines, was a castle resort near London. And same idea, stay inside a real Disney castle, princess meet and greets. I even thought, you could have a big castle and you could have, lower tier, one-story cabins for the common folk or something down in there. But something that would be nearer a population center and a destination hub as well. You could do stuff with, like lawn activities, lawn bowling and tennis as a resort thing. And maybe they can find some way to get you into a suit of armor and do some real jousting. That might be kind of fun.
Well, they do it for Renaissance fairs all the time, so it's doable.
Yeah, but those are people that are crazy. Because I'm proposing it for people that are like guests.
pay $150 and get to joust your dad.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, there is they converted some movie sets outside of London where they filmed some of the Harry Potter movies, and they have it now as like this whole Harry Potter world. It's like a movie set thing. And I'll tell you, man, that thing does major business. We were there a year before last, and boy, it was booming out there. And, so I think that there's an opportunity, outside of London to do something like this. But it might be more exotic to go to Norway. That would be potentially more interesting as a destination for sure.
Well, in the short term, maybe. But I mean, if you're going to talk about long-term legs, then the idea of being a little closer to more densely populated areas makes some sense, too.
Well, that and it's you're still English-based speaking.
Well, and maybe more importantly, you can get in and out of it in January.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's near a population center. I had UK down here too. I didn't really have an idea. I just had it as a.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, and I don't want to be too dismissive of Scandinavia, but it's just it's smaller countries, and the weather is harsher.
Yep.
Well, I'm surprised that I'm the first one to mention a specific, South American destination.
Oh, you're just stealing mine.
I'm sure I am.
Killing me, man.
Because clearly there's a market for a Disney theme park in Brazil.
And then we can all get on a plane
and visit
with matching shirts,
big groups,
and visit with
waving flags.
With the other's chance.
I got a flag. I got a flag.
Thank you. Someone has a flag.
But I mean, we're joking about it. But the reality is that there's definitely a market. And you know, I understand that people are getting away for holiday and all of that. But you know, at a certain point, you've sort of you know, sucked the dollars of the folks who can afford both to make the trip to the United States and stay at Walt Disney World pretty good and dry. There's a whole sort of next step market that maybe can't afford to come to Orlando. But, you know, why should Disney let the airlines profit off of the fact that these people love Disney, right? I mean, why not let them spend that money on visiting a Disney park? Labor costs have got to be lower. And just seems that there's a great opportunity there to build something that, you know, Brazil has pretty good weather most of the year. It gets rainy, but not that much more rainy than, you know, Orlando. Maybe a bit. They are in a rainforest. But you know, Disney has some experience dealing with that now. And I think you could have fun with it with sort of, you know, making your Saludos Amigos characters the, you know, out front greeters of the Brazilian park, and, you know, play up that that whole sort of South America tour that Walt and the Imagineers did, because I think it's still remembered fondly in South America and still talked about in positive ways, and really kind of capitalize on that with classic Disney characters in a way that you kind of can't do so much in most of Asia. You know, you're seeing, for example, in Shanghai, you know, a lot more reliance and a lot more introduction of some of the more modern characters, whereas you could continue to, you know, print money with classic Disney characters in a place like Brazil in Central America.
And after the Olympics are done in Rio, there's going to be a lot of big buildings they're not going to use.
Yeah.
Well, sure. A lot. Hey, you joke about that, but they're going to build a lot of infrastructure that's going to be empty.
By then, they will fix their sewage problems, too.
Sure.
Hopefully. I would hope.
And their, political problems.
Well,
I wonder if
the politics
of Brazil are kind of tricky.
That's true. But, hey, I mean, come on, mainland China?
Well, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. We're a democracy. Mm-hmm. We love capitalism. Nice.
All right, so
if you're going to build another resort, like theme park resort, I got to think that South America is probably your best option, given, you know, where everything else is presently.
I agree. It is the next continent if they're going to conquer one. You know, Brazil makes sense, but the real question is if you put one there, does that cannibalize your Walt Disney World travel? I don't know, but
how much it really is coming?
And honestly, if there's a push now for Disney to really focus on the 80-20 model, and they're already getting, you know, the top 20% of Brazil to come to Florida, why would you spend the money on putting a park down there?
Well, because once you build the park there, then you peel off the next 20, right?
Not necessarily. Depending on, I mean, this is going to really get into some economics, but depending on where,
depending on how big the gaps are,
whatever the disparity is there, you know, right. I mean, it depends, but I mean, that's just my thought. Don't get me wrong; it makes perfect sense because, you know, you don't go to Disney World in the summer and not see a Brazilian tour group. I have pictures from this last trip.
Well, I mean, that's true. And I guess my point is that look at it this way. Think about how many people, go to Disneyland Paris and then having experienced that and then seeing about, you know, Walt Disney World that has four parks, you know, all of a sudden, maybe it's worth a 6 or 7 hour flight.
Right.
You know, because they've had a taste. And, you know, maybe they can stretch the budget. Maybe they can, you know, skip their other vacation for a year and make the trek. I think that you have the potential to do the same kind of thing in Brazil. And then by the same token, you know, Brazil is a relatively inexpensive place for Americans to travel. And so, you know, you've got that whole sort of, you know, reverse market of being able to leverage another trip out of your you know, core fan base.
They might have some good opportunities for DVC there, both from the local population as well as Americans or whoever coming over to buy into that, too.
Mm, interesting thought. Now, there's where the politics get to be problematic. You know, Disney kind of learned that in Hawaii as well, because, you know, when you've got in Brazil, I know you've got a history of some socialist politics. I'm not sure the extent of the ability, you know, the whole timeshare sales thing is a uniquely heavily capitalistic concept.
Fair enough.
No, it's not.
See, it's a unique concept in general. When you think about it, but yeah.
All right. So I gave you guys Brazil or stole it from David. David, did you have something else?
I do.
All right.
We're going to go with Bourbon Land.
Okay.
We're going to do a Kentucky or Tennessee.
Interesting. Resort. And you're going to do it as a resort or not as a theme park, but as a standalone resort?
Well, I think you could do it as a standalone resort. I don't know if you would have the yearly, the year-round weather to do a true park to their caliber.
And it just seemed to me to be awful close for a park. So it does make more sense to me as a, you know, as a resort. Any particular kind of area you have in mind?
I don't know. Somewhere.
Nashville?
I'm sorry?
Nashville?
Yeah, I was thinking between Nashville and either Lexington, Louisville, somewhere right along the
okay.
The border.
So, so not trying to not trying to battle head to head with, you know, Dollywood and Pigeon Forge, no. But more in the sort of urban centers of Kentucky and Tennessee and in that area.
I mean, yeah. If you want to get people there, you obviously need transportation, and depending on where you're at in either northern Tennessee or, you know, southern Kentucky, you can fly into Cincy or Nashville. That is kind of the bourbon belt through there.
Right.
Plus Tennessee whiskey. Once you get south in Nashville, it was just a thought. I'm surprised
they, whiskey on the brain and
whiskey in a glass, whatever. but it was just, it's, you know, it's just kind of heartland. It's you could do it as a relaxing kind of, I don't know, just getaway spot that isn't the beach.
Sure. And there's some opportunities there to leverage all of the design work you've already done on, you know, Frontierland type areas and, you know, some of the...
you could go with all the old TV shows.
Right. Yeah, the
Crockett exactly. And Boone and all that stuff, so...
All right. Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would think possibility of even putting it further, like southern Texas, you know, where you're still getting some decent weather.
Well, I had Texas on my list, too. I had nothing specific about it, and I had nowhere specific about it, but it's a really big state. There's a lot of people, but... Well,
you know, Austin's already weird, so...
Well, it is about halfway between, you know, California and Florida there in Texas.
That's true. Yeah.
In a growing population center, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And the weather's pretty decent, and you're running the cruise line out of
Galveston occasionally. Yeah.
And you could kick that up a notch. You'd probably want to stay closer to the Gulf. I don't know if that's true, but I'm sure.
Yeah, it's trying hard. To think of all the further you.
Yeah.
It kind of depends. You're going to get a little more rain.
So. Well, I'm just thinking if you go too far north, you do run the risk of having some weather issues in the winter. I mean, you get up near the Panhandle and...
Well, we got tornadoes in Oklahoma.
That'd
be a great Disney park.
Yeah, it's a Twista. It's a
Tornado Alley Park. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I thought that was an attraction over at Universal already.
It is or was.
Is.
Is still?
Yes. Yes, believe it or not, it's still there.
I don't know if they took it out yet.
Oh, man, I'm going now.
Texas is a good point. I'm glad you raised it. I don't know. Kevin, did you have anything specific targeted for Texas?
Well, my feeling is it's probably there's not enough room there. But if you were going to do something in the United States as a park, that would be the logical place because it is sort of right in the middle there. And the weather isn't so terrible in the winter. Disney's Texas Adventure Park sound good to anybody? Not to me, but maybe someone from Texas.
Seven Flags over Texas.
That's some pretty good tax incentives that might be interesting for... there's a lot of business in Texas because of the way their tax stuff is.
Well, I mean, Texas is an intriguing possibility. Kevin talked about the demographics of the state. It's a growing state. It's right in the middle, so it helps to deal with. You have to figure that eventually, the costs of travel on a cyclical basis sometimes, kind of come up and bite Disney now every now and then, and they have to kind of claw back. So maybe that's a hedge. I know that there have been, running rumors for close to a decade now about a good, big chunk of property north of Dallas that supposedly is being developed into this massive theme park. And it looks to be mostly maybe a borderline scam. I can't decide completely whether it's a complete scam or whether it's just an ambitious businessman who's bitten off way more than he can chew. But it's been bouncing around for 10 years or so. And so clearly there's space there to do it. There's a location that's a hot location to do it. And, he makes a fairly compelling case in terms of the, value of the location and its proximity to population and airports and demographics and all those good things. So there's some good stuff there. And I think you do have some opportunities, again, to kind of leverage the, Texas Tall Tales stuff that we haven't seen much from Disney in a long time. And you can even, I guess the other option is the area, that we talked about initially down by Galveston. And maybe there you leverage some of Houston's space history, right? And you can do some, Tomorrowland type stuff or more, space themed stuff drawing from Johnson Space Center.
See, and that brings me to my next idea.
Okay.
Disney in space.
Okay.
I feel like if anybody could, you've got Virgin, working on trying to get space tourism off the ground.
Right.
And the space race doesn't really exist the way it used to anymore. But as a huge space fan, I feel like if Disney started to get into space tourism somehow, that, Disneyland Moon would be the place to go.
It would add a whole new meaning to Disney Moon.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, just be, it wouldn't be light on your pocketbook, but it would be light on your feet. Just imagine walking around a theme park on the moon. It'd just be relaxing. It'd be great.
There you go. That's how you sell it. Go to Disney Moon and, you'll be 100 pounds lighter.
Yeah, and you'll fix your back won't hurt as bad. It'll be,
It might not be as expensive as the around the world cruise.
the cruise might still be slightly more expensive.
Yes.
I priced around the world cruise once, and it's for people that have, if you have 70 days of vacation a year, then it's fine. I don't know. Disney could put they could. There's not a lot of people that could put some emphasis back into space the whole space race, you know, and bring something like that back around. But I don't know if Disney really could either. But eventually, long eventually, it'll probably, there's going to be something space going on. But
sure. Might as well be Disney. All right. Anybody else have any other destination thoughts? I do have one more on my list that I would mention, and that is, you know, similar maybe to a couple other things that have been raised, but you know, the Disney's got a bit of a history in Colorado as well. And so I would like to see them sort of move forward with their Mineral King concept, but maybe, you know, do something similar in the Rocky Mountains, you know, north of Denver.
Like changing the name?
Well, I mean, and doing some different things theme-wise, too.
Doesn't sound appealing.
Yeah, I mean, well, Mineral King was really tied into, you know, the particular, you know, the Sierras and California, you know, ski culture and all of that. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, Colorado has eclipsed that area of California as a ski destination, I think, in a lot of ways.
Right.
And, you know, I think that it would be a good market. There'd be an opportunity to do, you know, a couple of different resorts. You could do different, you know, levels of resorts to make it accessible for different people. There's a great environment there for it. It's a growing area. And again, I kind of like the idea of something that's a little more central. You know, Colorado is, you know, northwest, but it's really pretty central. I mean, I guess they've started to consider themselves a little bit western. But, you know, you look at the geography and yeah, it's mountain time, but they're
barely
pretty close to the middle of the country.
Dude, you're only like 600 miles from there. It's like get on 70.
Yeah, no, I've driven it.
Yeah,
I've driven it by myself, end to end, without stopping.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a poor choice.
Yeah, but there's like no speed limit there, right? Isn't it like 75 now? 80?
Actually, stretches of it are 80 or 85.
Fantastic. Yeah,
that's like the distance from you know, San Francisco to LA for Disneyland, right? So you know.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's not densely populated in between there, but, you know, between Kansas City and, you know, if you draw a circle of 6 hours, you can get some people coming there.
Oh, no, no. You can't get to Denver in 6 hours from Kansas City. You can't do it. It's probably about 9 or 10.
Yeah, it's 10.
All right.
But yeah,
but when you live out here in the middle of nowhere,
you get used to it.
People drive 6 or 7 hours for just nothing.
I made the drive while I was jet lagged from Israel still. So that was probably not the best choice.
Well, I know even East Coast, like Pittsburgh to Denver is only 3 hours.
Oh, so yeah. Oh, flying.
It's not much more than flying to Florida. And frankly, I love Colorado. So Denver's a great city.
Yeah, plus you could do it around Denver, yeah, just because of the airport. I mean,
it would make sense to do it there unless you were going to do it in Utah. I mean, I still think Denver's around Denver. I mean, you could do it up towards Fort Collins or a little further south at what, Colorado Springs?
Well, no, you don't want to go south. You want to be north. You want to be into the Rockies. You know, into the ski areas. And the only real issue is that you do get parts of the year where, you know, it's not ski season and you can't get up there. There's a chunk of time where it's not ski season, but it's great resort season. And, you know, you can still do good, you know, summer resort stuff. But then there's a chunk of the winter where, you know, you've gone too far, you know, because at that elevation, parts of it just become impassable.
Donner Party Resort. Plus, there's a ridiculous amount of craft beer, so I'm in.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
All right. So, Kevin, you mentioned you had another one on your list.
Yeah, I can't beat it, you know, Colorado, the Sunshine State there, but Denver. Anyway, this isn't exactly a resort or a park, but I was thinking about, you know, is there a Disney franchise that we might want to extend beyond where it already exists? And the one that came to my mind was Trader Sam's, the Enchanted Tiki Bar,
right,
or Grog Grotto, as you may choose to partake. And this has been a big hit in Disneyland. It's been, I think, even a bigger hit in Walt Disney World. You know, I don't know why they built it so small in Disney World, because it seems like everything I heard is it's always crowded and everything else. But people really love Trader Sam's. You know, you go in, it's the whole tiki bar vibe that is very popular amongst, you know, bars across country. But the way Disney does it with all the enchanted elements and the special effects and all that, I think could be a big sell for tourist destinations like Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco or Vegas, Times Square, places like that, where you don't need a giant resort-sized footprint, but maybe a special kind of hotel with a Disney difference might be palatable.
Now, see, I love that idea because, you know, Disney has a few times, you know, looked into sort of expanding nationally with special, you know, particular projects. Disney Quest is the last big one where they talked about doing that. They built one in Chicago, and none of, you know, didn't really get off the ground.
Because it was a flawed idea. People don't care about that stuff, and it's a big footprint.
Well, exactly, and that's what I'm getting at, is I think that this idea makes a lot more sense because you can do it, first of all, you could do it in phases and stages even, right? I mean, you know, you can open, you know, open the bar, if the bar works, then, you know, you go bigger. You open a restaurant where the bar is a subpart of the restaurant, and if the bar and restaurant works, you know, then you move to doing a hotel. If the hotel works, you know, you turn it into a resort. I mean, you can do that progressively. Without having to start with a big footprint in an expensive major city. Because I think that that's one of the things that has slowed Disney down from doing those kinds of things in the past, is that the capital costs up front for a new project in a major city are just so much higher.
And, you know, if you think about these theme restaurants like Bubba Gump's. I mean, geez, if they can make a million Bubba Gump's, surely Disney can take a bit of that market share away with Trader Sam's.
Well, with corporate dining as widespread as it is now, and the fact that if you look at mid-level corporate dining, everything from your Chili's to your Ruby Tuesday to your Fridays and all of that, they can plus that easily, and not have that, maybe not, you know, 600 stores like a lot of them do, and be in every little market, but you could be in every major market, and you could be, you're something different. Like, how many T-Rex cafes are there?
Oh yeah.
How many Rainforest cafes are there? It'd be on the level of that. And like you said, Aaron, you could do it in stages. I don't know if they want to get into the restaurant industry, though.
That's the other question. I mean, I guess, you know, it's an intriguing proposition as an alternative to the big resort properties, which they seem to have backed off of post Aulani, right? I mean, they haven't done another, non-theme park connected resort since Aulani, and the properties that they owned, they've sold off.
Well, that, and if you look at the way, even especially at Disney World, some of the restaurant management is trending, where they're bringing in third party more and more. At least it seems so. I don't know if they'd want to do that. I mean,
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, is licensing, you know, Trader Sam's sort of the flip side of you know, selling off Disney Store to Children's Place?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what is it? Is it Landry's that has Yak and Yeti?
Yeah. Yeah, Landry's has Yak and Yeti, and they also own the Rainforest Cafe that's there. They own T-Rex. Yeah.
And they do that kind of themed restaurant well, and you already have the relationship there. I could see them licensing it off. I mean, Kevin, it's a fantastic idea. If there was a Trader Sam's in Pittsburgh or in Philly, I mean, I'd go there because it would be a draw for me, and I think it would be a draw for even more people locally.
Well, see, I can't help but think of it from the perspective of also being, you know, an ongoing marketing opportunity. You know, I mean, just because you get that chance to, you know, throw random bits of you know, news about what's going on in Disney theme parks, you know, into the sort of, you know, organically make it part of the bar and restaurant.
Oh, even movie franchises and and all that. I mean, you could do some serious cross marketing.
But at the same time, you're building a new brand with it too. That isn't just the Mickey Mouse, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bar or something like that.
Well, none of that. It's a different customer base. It's not families with kids age 3 to whatever. Don't get me wrong. We all love Disney. I get that. But you are catering to the 20-something crowd that has a lot of disposable income and no kids yet.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I don't know. I mean,
I absolutely agree. You know, it reaches what I think is in some ways kind of the gap market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting thought. I love that, Kevin. Nice thinking. All right. Well, anybody else have thoughts? I mean, the one other one that was on my list here was that it seems to me that there are some opportunities in Mexico. You know, Mexico got really devastated by the hurricanes that have hit over the last few years. And there are resorts that just got decimated. And I've got to think that, you know, not to be macabre about it, but there have got to be some buyer's opportunities there.
Yeah, on either coast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would think that particularly on the California side, you know, there would be some great opportunities to put a standalone, you know, DVC resort, because you've got all these, you know, Californians who own DVC points and who can't get reservations at the Grand Californian.
Right.
Because there just aren't enough rooms. So you know, you could put a resort destination there and, you know, give people another opportunity for sort of something along the lines of Vero Beach, right? A laid back, not a big, you know, intense activities kind of thing, but, you know, plenty of family recreation, and, you know, you got your it's not overboard with characters, but you've got a character's presence there, and you know, maybe you pull in some of the maybe even Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah,
you know, call back to that for some theming cues, and you know, just give people another alternative on the West Coast, because I know that often the West Coast folks talk about, you know, feeling like they love their parks, they love Disneyland, they love what's happened at California Adventure, but, you know, the cruise line isn't out there very often anymore, and they only have the one DVC resort option.
Tijuana Mickey.
Yeah, well, there are downsides too.
Just call him El Chapo. Sorry.
So what do you think, Kevin? Would you be looking for would you be booking a trip at a California or at a Mexico DVC resort?
You know, my idea of exotic travel is to go someplace like Italy.
Okay.
So, you know, safety issues. Sorry, Mexico people. Probably not my vibe.
All right, fair enough.
We did Riviera Maya twice. If they put a Disney resort Riviera Maya south of Cancun, we'd probably be there.
Yeah, I think you'd get people there for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And that's a good example of, you know, a place where the cruise line stops, and
yeah,
you know, maybe you can, you know, leverage that as well by, you know, providing some shore excursion opportunities when the cruise line is around.
It could be the second Castaway K, to be honest. I mean, you're right there. You're stopping at Cancun anyway. Or what's the island?
Yeah, Riviera Maya.
What's the...
Cozumel.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, definitely in the Yucatan, you can do well there. I had one more.
Okay.
And I don't know where, but I am kind of surprised that Disney's getting out of the golf game. Pardon the pun. I apologize. But I'm surprised they haven't, you know, glommed on to some of these golf areas. You know, the winter. I mean, they did it at Hilton Head, yeah. But you got Arizona, some other places in Florida. I'm just surprised that they haven't put in resorts that are golf focused with a family component. Because, as a dad who has, 9 and 10 year olds, you want to go on a golf trip. It's kind of tough to just get away.
Sure.
You're laying a lot of other capital down. Yes, honey, I will. Yes, just 3 days. Yeah. So I don't know where. I don't know what. I don't know how. But just.
Do you think that they could build something at least on par with some of the existing places? Right.
Yeah. I mean,
on par.
I see what you're saying.
But you're right. I mean, if all things being equal, you might choose the Disney resort at your golf destination rather than the Hilton or whatever, right? So, yeah, there'd be some opportunities there, I think.
Well, again,
the bigger problem is golf as a sport is sort of getting less popular.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not old enough. I'm not old enough to like golf, so.
I mean, I know a lot of people that put a lot of money into it, but I mean, at any rate, you could cater to it. You could, like we've said, leverage your brand, get with some major course designers that people know, and put in some class courses, get some more PGA Tour events to promote it. I mean,
Right.
Just a thought.
No, it's true. It's there. I mean, the irony is that Disney's involvement with golf was mostly an accident of Card Walker's obsession. You know, I mean, the guy was like thrust into the role of running the company as they were kind of trying to get Walt Disney World finished, and Card. I always kind of see it as part of the way that, Roy finally convinced Card to take over, right? He's like, oh, no, you could go. Hey, you could build a golf course. How's that? And Card would be like, okay.
That closed it right there. That's the deal.
Exactly.
Nice.
All right. Well, so, Kevin, did you have one more out there?
That's it for me.
Oh, that's it. All right. Well, so anybody have any last thoughts about expansions into other markets by Disney in the parks and resorts realm?
Just more Star Wars. Hurry up.
Yeah, fifth gate, all Star Wars.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
If you think about if you're going to build one of these standalone parks in Texas or someplace, if it was the Star Wars theme park, that would be a draw.
I'd be furious if they did that. If they did a fifth gate just Star Wars and it was in Texas,
but it wouldn't be a fifth gate. It would be a first gate.
I understand that, but in essence, it would be a fifth gate. I mean, in my eyes,
for a seventh gate.
I mean, there's the pitch there, right? I mean, you build in Texas and you build it there on purpose, right? Because by the time you're in Texas, you're west of the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you can build yourself a nice big thrill ride heavy park that capitalizes on both the Lucasfilm stuff and the Marvel stuff that you can do in Florida.
And it's Texas, so it's all manly anyways. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's not a crazy idea.
Yeah. Stop giving them ideas.
Hey, they're welcome to those ideas for free. I just want to be able to come visit.
That's true.
All right. Well, you know, you've heard our ideas and our thoughts on where else we'd like to see a Disney park or resort, or even really more where we just kind of had some wild ideas where it might be fun to see one. We'd love to hear from you and hear your ideas. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at Dizdads Podcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Hey, and I haven't mentioned it in a while, but, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, you're enjoying it, it would be a big help if you were to stop by on iTunes and give us a review. Those reviews kind of help us come up in search results when people are looking for Disney podcasts, and there are so many out there these days that it's kind of easy to get lost in the shuffle. So, again, if you're enjoying the show, take a minute, give us a review, you know, tell us what we're doing well, tell us what we need to improve on, because that's why we do the show, because, you know, people are still interested in listening, so we keep recording. But until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Coy Seipert.
This party's over.
See you, everybody.
David Jewett.
I can't top that. Good night.
And Kevin Grossman.
Hey, this was a lot of fun, Aaron. Thanks for helping us dream.